you for downloading this message from our Father's house.
Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to speak the word. And we're going to get ready to open up in prayer here before I start. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. I pray that they would hear your voice, not mine, Lord. I pray this is about you. This is not about me. Lord, I pray that you would anoint me. I pray that you would convict the hearts of the people in this place today, God. In your precious name I pray, amen. And this ain't in my notes, but this is on my heart. My message is about this. I would like for the wind of God just to blow and refresh this nation and this generation. And I think we all can agree this nation needs something new. It needs a new glory of God. And in the book of Ezekiel, it talks about the valley of dry bones. That's a picture of Israel turned away from God. We can say this nation is turned away from God. And the breath of, and he told Ezekiel to prophesy and ask him, can these bones live again? He said, Lord, only you know. And the breath of God blew, and they stood up an exceeding great army. To be the role the church has to play, we need to stand up. We got to get who we are in God. We're more than conquerors. As Pastor Odie's been preaching, we're sons and daughters. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 18. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us a ministry of reconciliation. No matter what's happened in our lives, you can become, because of God's love and his mercy and his grace, you can become a new creation in him. And when you get that new creation, you get the revelation that I am a new person in God and that I have a new beginning in God, then you can allow God to do what he wants to through you. You know, he may have a plan for you to change your school, to change your state, or whatever it may be. But if you don't realize and forgive yourself of what you've done in the past and understand that God's forgiven you of your past, then you're going to look at yourself as a failure. And verses 7 through 8, verse 7 says, find it here. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, verse 7, we must see ourselves the way God sees us. We don't need to see ourselves through how we see it. God sees us as an overcomer. He sees us as a conqueror. He sees us as a world changer. That's what we got to see ourselves as. In verse 8, we need to die to the flesh to walk in a new glory of God. This church needs to walk in a new glory and a new anointing and a new presence of God in order to have the impact on this nation that it needs. In order to bring revival, you have to walk in the glory of God. As Justin said at the prayer meeting, you can't preach without his presence. You can't sing without his presence. You can't do anything without him. God does not need us. If we would humble ourselves, then he would heal our land. If God don't need us, why should there be any reason to be prideful? Be humble, because if God don't need you, there's no point in being prideful. There's no point. It's common sense. I'm not prideful if somebody don't need me, but they just choose to use me. I'm not prideful. Psalms 51, verse 12. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Now, if you go on, verse 13 says, then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. When you were first saved, you felt like telling everybody, but over time, you can begin to wear down. That joy of your salvation, as this verse says, can get weary. It becomes distant. But if you would just say, Lord, refresh me. If you would just begin to pray, you know, then you would begin to get the revelation, you know, of the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That's when you understand that his joy is your strength. It will strengthen you to be a witness. We all need to be witnesses. You're called to be ministers. That does not mean standing behind a pulpit preaching the word. That means witnessing. Ministering means witnessing. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Verse 9 says, lie not to one another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds. We need to be in the spirit of unity to have the impact. Lie not to one another. Put off the old man with his deeds. Deeds is sins. The old man's deeds are his sins. That goes back to 2 Corinthians 5:17. He's a new creature. You need to put off all your old sins. You need to put them away from you. You don't need to hold on to anything. You got to choose. You're either all in or you're all out. Lukewarm Christians is what God spits out of his mouth. Not the cold people that don't have anything to do with him or the people that's totally on fire for God. Now verse 10 of Colossians 3 says, spiritually we have new life. We're made in the image and likeness of God. You can't hold on to everything, as I was saying earlier. You can't hold a grudge against yourself in order to have an impact that you're supposed to, in order to have to do what you're supposed to be in the plan of God. You can't hold a grudge against yourself. You're made in the image of God. You are a Christian, a mini Christ. We cannot be perfect, but we can strive to be. You know, some people may say, well, if I'm not already perfect, there, I shouldn't really try because there's no point. We've all fallen short. It's just some of us decide to go all in while others don't really want to. Luke 15, verses 11 through 25. A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living, or his inheritance. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. There wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to the fields to feed swine, pigs. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father. Will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and as he drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. So to break this story down, the youngest son took his inheritance. He wasted it, and he realized he sinned against his father and against heaven. Spiritually, the father, as Odie's been preaching, is God. We can look at the father in this story as God and this youngest son as us as Christians. And when he realized that he had sinned against him, you know, he was coming up with all this. When he saw his father, he was going to, you know, make out this huge thing that he's practiced what to say. But when he was seen afar off by his father, the father had such a love and a compassion for him that he met him halfway there. The son didn't even have to come all the way where he was. He didn't even, just halfway there, and the father met him there. And because of his love and his compassion, whatever you do, you know, Christians can go to a faraway country, spiritually, where we can't feel his glory or his presence, where our prayers bounce off the ceiling, it feels like. And that may be because we've got into something we're not supposed to, or we just slapped in slack in prayer and fasting. But because of the love of God and his grace and his mercy, there's no hole too big that we can't pull ourselves out of. Because his love, he wants us to be close to him. And in verse 22, it says that the father said to get the best robe and put it on his son and get shoes on his feet. You know, the money or the inheritance, in the spirit, money has value. So in the spirit, gifts of the spirit, anointing, presence, the fire of God, all that has value to us in the spirit. He wasted his inheritance. We can lose that stuff if we are not careful. But when he kind of backslid and he began to come back and the father met him, as it says, get the best robe and shoes to go on his feet. No matter how far away you've been from God in your life, if you are just willing to do your part, God's willing to do his if you would do yours, just as he met the son halfway there. He's willing. We got to be willing to do our part if we want to walk in anointing. If we want to walk in his glory, and wherever we go, if I want revival to follow me, well, I got to do my part. God's not going to do it all because he asked for us to serve for him. Verse 24, my son was dead but is alive again, lost but now found. He was dead because he, spiritually to us, it would be dead if we just wasted everything that God had has given us. But because when you're saved, you got to understand that the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. And you many people may backslide, but you're still able. There's restoration in the Lord. There's deliverance in the Lord. He has everything you need. If you need a refreshing, you pray for God to refresh you. If you want revival, you pray for revival. God has whatever. Like I said, he'll do whatever it takes on his part, but we got to be willing to do ours. Now the son said, I have sinned against thee, and I am no longer deserve to be called your son. This goes back to 2 Corinthians 5:7. We must see us how God sees us. We have to get a revelation of who we are in God. We have to understand that we are a son. We have to understand that we are an overcomer. We have to understand that we are a conqueror. But again, we got to pray, repent, and seek his face. Repentance is the only way we can get rid of stuff that's not in our lives, that's not of God in our lives. Now, from a different spiritual perspective here, the oldest son was angry. Talk about the church a minute. The church needs to get rid of this judgmental. Because the person sitting in the pew for 25 years, they're saved, so they're, as 2 Corinthians 5:7 said, or 5:8 said, they would be rather to be absent from the body they're just waiting to die to go to heaven. Whereas, some of us are dying to the flesh to walk in His glory, to walk in His presence, to have His anointing. And we get jealous because we're sitting on a pew not doing our part, but a drug addict has gave his life to the Lord and God's using them. Why are we jealous? Why? If that's a problem in your heart, you've got to repent. God may want to pour His Spirit and presence out on you, but if you got jealousy because God's using a drug addict or alcoholic to reach the streets and you're not doing nothing because you don't even realize who you are, what? There's no point in being jealous. Jeremiah 3:22 says, "Return ye backsliding children, I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God." Jeremiah 3:21 says, it says that the children of Israel had forgotten the Lord. They departed from Him. They left His Spirit in His presence. And in verse 22, "Return and He will heal your backslidings." If we draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to us. That goes back. It don't say if He draws nigh to us, we'll draw close to Him. It said if we draw close to Him, He'll draw close to us. We got to do our part. And you can do this and your backslidings will be healed once you say, "Lord, I'm not going to hold any grudges." It may be an emotional scar. It may be anything like that. But the Lord is saying, "Draw close to Me and I'll draw close to you. And I'll heal these scars in your life, emotional." Revelation 22, verse 17. "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." No matter who you are, the Lord's inviting you to be saved and allow His Spirit to invade your life so you have a new beginning and you are a new person in God. If you're a drug addict, God's not holding that against you. As Jake Hamilton said, sometimes we go before God asking for forgiveness and He's like, "What's sin?" Yeah. No matter what you've done in your past, your past don't determine your future. The only way that happens is if you allow it. We don't have to accept our past to be our future. We don't have to allow our past to determine our future. "I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from them." Hosea 14, verse 4. That relates back to Jeremiah 3:22 that I just read. "I will heal their backsliding." Verse 5 says, "I'll be the dew unto Israel, and he shall grow as a lily." These verses, even though we may turn our backs on God, once we understand that we got to draw close to Him and He's willing to heal these backsliding and He's willing to heal these scars, then we understand that we are a new creation, that we are a new man in God, then we would just begin to grow in wisdom and in the Lord's Spirit. We would grow in discernment. Once you get the revelation and you don't hold a grudge against yourself, then you can begin to grow in your wisdom. Then you may begin to grow in discernment. In Ephesians 4:22 and 24, "That ye put off concerning the former conversation with the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." 22 says, put off the conversation of the old man. That goes, that's the same thing, put off the old man in his deeds. Put away our sins. That goes back to Colossians 3:10. 23, renewed in the spirit of your mind. When you're saved and you become a new man, you have a change in your mind. You change a way of thinking. When you have an experience with God's glory and with His presence, it will change your thinking. It will change your actions. It will change everything within you. It has a complete and total change. And 24, put on the new man which is made in righteousness and true holiness. Put away our sin and walk in a new anointing in God's presence and spirit. We can do this by protecting our hearts, you know. You may say, okay, I want to walk in the glory of God. I want to walk in His anointing. And then you realize you have potential. You've forgiven yourself and you realize you have potential. Then the enemy's going to try to attack you because he knows, he already knows you have potential, but now he knows that you realize you have the potential. And the altar call I'm going to give here shortly is, if you want to just be refreshed, if you want to walk, simply walk in a new glory or a new anointing with God, if you just want to walk closer to God, or if you actually want to become a new man and you're not saved, and invite, as the Revelation said, come, everyone come. No matter who you are, the Lord is inviting you to come. To come to know Him personally. Worship team, if you would, please come back on the stage. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. New heart also I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. If we get rid of our idols and our sins, and we're willing to do our part, He'll refresh us. He will renew us. He'll make us a new man. He'll make us a new person. I will give you a new heart. There may be some issues in our heart, but once we say, Lord, refresh me, put in me a new heart. Search me, O God, if there be any wicked way, let me turn from it. If there's something that's not of you inside of me, reveal it to me, and I'll get rid of it. No matter what we've done in our past, we can get a refreshing of the Lord's Spirit. No matter what you've done, I don't care what anybody else says. Lord says you are able to do whatever you want to do. If you want to do great things for the Lord, you can do it. No matter what you've done, He is willing to rescue you. He is willing to restore you. No matter who you are or what people think of you, it don't matter what people think, because on Judgment Day, they don't have the say. On Judgment Day, people don't have the say on Judgment Day. The Lord has, Judgment Day's the final say. And the Lord will have that final say. So we don't need to be concerned about what people think. If you get saved and the people you're around all the time think that it's bad, you don't need to care what they think, because they ain't even going to have a say on what happens to you on Judgment Day. God's an all-consuming fire. If something in our lives that's not of Him, if we would say, Lord, if there's something that's not of You, You're an all-consuming fire. Burn it out. Get rid of it. We'll be cleansed. No matter what we've done, our past can be cleansed. He's an all-consuming fire. Again, this altar call is, if you just want a new fire of God, if you've had the fire of God in your past and you've let it get out, but if you want a new fire, and this time you want to kindle it through prayer and fasting, and you want to keep it burning in your life, this is a chance for you to get that fire back, for you to walk in a new glory. This is a chance for you to come to know God personally. Why not today? He's given you a chance to come to know Him. He's given you a chance to be restored. He's given you a chance to be healed. I pray that people would begin to be healed today, God. I pray that people would know there's restoration in your name. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And as they begin to play, this altar is open for anybody. Again, don't care what people think. It don't matter. It don't matter to God what people think about you. God don't see you the way people see you. This is a chance for you to get a revelation of who you are. As they begin to play again, this altar is open for you to become restored, for you to become a new man, for you to become a new creation in God. Everything you need is in Him. Freedom is in His name. Restoration is in His name. Healing is in His name. It is, we all have different needs. He has everything. If you have God and nothing else, you have everything. He is everything. So I just want to invite you guys to come to this altar and become restored and realize who you are.
Control.